We're going to do a little series here today on David. And in November, I like to do a series or something on Thanksgiving. So we're going to talk about David, a man who had a lot to be thankful for. He had so much to be thankful for. But as he concludes his life in 2 Samuel chapter 22 is where we're coming from today. As he concludes his life, he has moments of reflection and he documents how thankful he is. So we're coming from the 22nd chapter of 2 Samuel. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 22. And allow me to read a few verses that we will look at today. We're going to start out with the 31st verse. And it reads, "As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power. He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer. And he sets me on high places. He teaches my hands to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze." The topic for today is, thank you, Lord, for being my strength. Thank you, Lord, for being my strength. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. I thank you, Father, for this moment, Lord, of your word. I pray that I can share this word for your people, Lord, the way you have given it to me with accuracy and with clarity. And now I ask that we all focus our hearts and minds on the word of God. In your son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 The Lord is my strength, and I thank you for that. Now, how many of us can testify to that today, that the Lord is our strength? Amen. How many of us can actually say, Lord, you are my strength? David, again, is writing the Psalm of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, he's so thankful for being delivered from his enemies. And that's what the first 30 verses of this chapter really talks about, his deliverance from his enemies. But then he goes on, as you look at the 31st verse, he talks about the source of his strength, the source of his strength. And as we look at this, he says, "As for God, who is the source of David's strength, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him." It said God's ways are perfect. Now, if you're reading from the King James translation, that word is blameless. But that's what it means, is perfect. God's word is perfect. God's word is true. God's word will not return to him void. Also, God's word is proven. Means that it has been tested. It has been tested by the faithful from generations to generation. When they cried out to the Lord certainly answered them, but it might not have been on their timeline, but the Lord did answer. He proved his word with Moses. When he called Moses to go to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go," God gave him a way to allow Pharaoh to let the children of God go, escape Egypt, escape 400 years of captivity. His word is proven. It has been proved by the Hebrew boys who decided that they were not going to eat the diet, not going to do the rituals of the pagans, but they were going to follow the Lord, even if it meant their death in a fiery furnace. It was proven by Daniel in the lion's den. I can go on and share with examples of how the Lord's word has been tested. But you know what? If it's been tested enough by them, then it's perfectly good for me. Amen? It's perfectly good for me. And this is what David is saying, is that his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. When we look at our Bible, when we read the scripture, we are reading the truth of God. Amen? Our job is to read it. Our job is to study it. Our job is to be able to apply it to our lives and our situations. It goes on in that 31st verse to say, he is a shield to all who trust him. He is a shield. He is a shield. But that is a shield of faith. That is the shield that can eliminate all the fiery darts that come against us. It is a shield of faith. But guess what? To have that type of shield, we have to trust him. We have to trust the Lord. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. This is David talking, someone who proved through his career that God was perfect, someone who proved through his career that God's word had been tested, the one who proved through his career that God was his shield. Can we say that this morning? Can we thank God for his ways? Can we thank God for his word? Can we thank God for his shield, that hedge of protection that he has put around us and allowed us to keep on going when we just didn't feel like going on at times? That's the God we serve. Then we look at the 32nd verse. And I love this because David asked the rhetorical question, for who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? Who is God except the Lord? You know, sometimes when people talk about God, you got to make sure that their definition is coming from the same dictionary yours is coming from, because some people have other gods that they serve, but we serve God, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We serve God, the only true God. And it's interesting, who is God except the Lord? This is David talking. This is David, the one who has experienced a lot of success in his life, but he also experienced heartbreak. But he knew the source of his strength. Now, as I was studying this, I thought back to Moses. I thought back to Moses when Moses and God called him to be his mouthpiece and go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. I remember Moses said, well, are you sure, God? Are you sure that I am the right one to do this? He didn't think he could, but God gave him the ability to do it. And also what God did was he gave him the ability to perform miracles that will show that the God of Israel is the one true God. You remember in Exodus around chapter 7, when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And Moses had to prove that he was a man under the command of God. So he gave them the ability, gave Aaron the ability to throw his rod down, and the rod became a serpent on the ground. Pharaoh took his magicians and Pharaoh took his wise men and said, look, y'all can do that same thing. So they threw their rods on the grounds and their rods became serpents. Well, guess what? Aaron's serpent, the rod, ate all the other ones. What a mighty God we serve. Some people serve false gods that try to imitate our God, but we serve a God that can be imitated but never duplicated. Amen. We serve a God that can create miracles in the lives to force people to understand that there is one true God. And not only that, they had some plagues they had to bring upon Egypt in order to get Pharaoh to the point of letting their people go. And at least three of the plagues, I know that Pharaoh tried to have his magicians. He tried to have his magic men. He tried to have his wise men do the same thing that God had allowed Moses and Aaron do. When they turned the water in the blood, when they turned the water in the blood, Pharaoh said, come on, guys, you can do the same thing. But they tried, and it just became more blood. When it came time for the frogs, the plague of the frogs, and the magicians came and tried to eliminate the frogs, but they just added more frogs. And when it came to lice, the same thing happened. When you deal with our God is greater than all the other gods that you see, all the graven images that are out there. It has been proven time and time again by the prophets of old, and it is still being proven today that we serve the only God. We serve the only true God that has a path of salvation for us, that has a covering for us. And he goes on to say that he is the rock also. And who is a rock except our God? You know what? David had some weaknesses, but even in the midst of his weaknesses, he made the law, the word of God, his rock. And guess what? He never turned to other gods. From the time he faced Goliath with the slingshot to the time he was dying, he never turned to another God as the source of his strength. Who is our rock but our God? When we think of a rock, we think of stability. We think of safety. We think of covering. A rock is our anchor. And I can remember being on the waters when you're in your boat and you want to lay your anchor so you don't drift away. You throw your anchor down and you just hope that your anchor doesn't sink into sand. Because what will happen if it goes in the sand? You will be in one place at one moment, but you will look up and found out that you have continued to drift because your anchor has not attached itself to a rock or something with stability. Even in Deuteronomy 32, verse 4, when Moses is saying what the Lord has told to the people of God, he says, he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all of his ways are justice. A God of truth without injustice, righteous and upright is he. In spite of what is going on in the world, let us tie ourselves to our rock. Let us tie ourselves to our rock, who is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We serve the one true God who has lasted the test of time and is still working in the hearts and minds of individuals like us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. I'm reminded of a song that we sing sometimes in church. It goes like this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Is sinking sand. We gotta, well, my brothers and sisters, we gotta be stabilized by something. And I suggest we be stabilized with God. In my youthfulness, I used to watch those jungle movies. You know those movies I'm talking about, Tarzan and other movies like that. And inadvertently, somebody would be thinking they're walking on solid ground. And the next thing you know, they start sinking and somebody yells out quicksand. They try to pull somebody out. The other gods of this world are like the quicksands in our life. Don't get tied up. Don't step on them. Walk around them and keep on going. But worship our God, our Jehovah. Worship our God, our God. Amen. In verse 33, in 2 Samuel 33, David says, God is my strength and my power, and he makes my ways perfect. He is my strength. He is my strength. We all have days when we feel like we don't have strength to keep on going on. We have days that we feel like we don't have strength and the power to do what must need to be done. But I'm thinking about another song because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. Anybody testify to that? Because he lives. And the song concludes with, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. I can have all strength because he lives and because he's in my life. And the last part of verse 33, and he makes my way perfect. Again, he makes my way blameless. Or you might even use the word trustworthy. Now we know that not everybody, that we know that nobody is absolutely perfect. But through the Lord, we can have a perfect life. You know, David's perfection or blamelessness does not mean that he was without sin. For we know he did wrong. At least one time we know we did wrong in the Bible. But you know what? What made him blameless, what made him trustworthy was that when he did wrong, he confessed and was forgiven. And therefore, he can say, my walk is perfect, because my steps are ordered by the Lord. The Lord has guided David to safety. He guided David to success, to success. And I think there was a foretelling of this. If we go back to 1 Samuel, y'all remember King Saul. King Saul was the king when David rose to his fame. King Saul was a man who was not really that interested in following the Lord. But look at what it says in 1 Samuel 13:14. But now, Samuel's telling King Saul, but now your kingdom shall not continue. You see, Saul had been disobedient to the Lord numerous times. He had not followed the Lord numerous times. He had his own mind. He was going to do things his way. So because of his disobedience, he was told that his kingdom will not continue. Can you imagine somebody being told that their kingdom will not continue? Can you imagine that? I think I got some witnesses who can imagine that somebody being told that their kingdom will not continue. But in 1 Samuel 13:14, he goes on to say, the Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart. And the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. See, David, he said that change had to be made in leadership. That change had to be made in leadership because the anointing had left Saul because of his disobedience. But God had to find somebody who followed his own heart, someone who kept after his own heart. And that's what he found David to be king. He anointed David to be king. And even in Psalm 119, verse 11, David even admitted this, even said, your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. What David is saying is that I've hidden your word in my heart. So when I come up against compromising situation, I can figure out the right way to do things. When I come across the enemy, I can seek your face before I do anything. When situations are brought to my desk, before I make decisions, I can have the empathy to think about the people and work it out the way that you would have me to do it. David is a man after God's own heart. And he admits that in the 33rd verse of 2 Samuel 22. God is my strength and my power, and he makes my way perfect. My perfection is not because of anything I do. My perfection is all about what you have done in my life, O Lord. And then we only have two more verses to go, where David again stresses that the Lord is the source of his strength. Look at verse 34. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on high places. The Lord provides strength to his feet. Now, I want to talk a little bit about deer. You know, this is the time of year that we seem to see deer everywhere, especially if you drive through the rural areas. But there's something about the deer that kind of fascinates me. First of all, deer have these tiny little feet. They look out of proportion to the rest of their body. But guess what? Those feet are nimble. Those feet are quick. I have seen deer jump over a 5-foot fence without taking a running start, stand right next to the fence, take one leap and jump right over and safely land on the other side. Their feet are strong. Their feet are stable. They have great agility. They are sure-footed, but they are also graceful. I recall years ago, I was in the mountains of Nevada, and I looked up on this tall hill, and I see some deer up there. I see some deer, and I see some sheep, and I'm looking, and I'm trying to figure out how in the world did they get up there. I don't see a path that I can get to where they are. But I got to understand that things that I would need ropes to do, things that I would need help to, areas that I need help to reach, that they can reach it because that's the way God made their feet. Have you ever tried to catch a deer? You can't just catch a deer because they can dart in and out and they can move on the spur of the moment. This illustrates, and what David is saying, he has made my feet like that so that I have the stability, I have the strength, I have everything I need to handle life's challenges. When they tried to chase me, I could change direction in a heartbeat. When they tried to catch up with me, I could leap over boulders and I could keep on going in my direction. And here's an interesting thing about this. The deer can climb the hills better than we can because God made them that way. So when David is saying he has made my feet like the feet of deer, he has given me everything I need to be successful in life. He has strengthened my feet. When we walk the paths that God has given us, my brothers and sisters, he will allow us to go places that can only be attributed to him in our lives. David is saying he has set me on high places. David had no plan to be responsible for the children of Israel. He was just a servant of God. He wanted to do God's will. He was a warrior, but God lifted him up. He made him nimble. He gave him great agility. He gave him all that he needs. And if he did it for David, he can do it for us. He can give us what we need to navigate life. To navigate life, the crooks and crannies and corners, and to keep us from stumbling over the obstacles that are set before us. He gave us that ability if we trust in him. He strengthened his feet. But let's look at verse 35. Not only did he strengthen his feet, but he strengthened his hands and also his arms. In verse 35, he teaches my hands to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. What he's saying is the Lord has given me everything I need, has strengthened me so I can fight the battles that are set before me. Lord, I know you're with me because I have consulted with you before I entered the battles. The question for us is, how many battles have we gone into in our lives without consulting the Lord, only to wonder why it turned out the way it turned out? But when we go with the Lord, after consulting the Lord and doing things his way, when we allow him to strengthen our feet, when we allow him to strengthen our hands, when we allow him to strengthen our arms, we can do anything through his will. He's taught me how to win wars. He's taught me how to be strategic. He's taught me how to go in the battle and be victorious. He has shown me how to do this. Kind of reminds me of Joshua at the walls of Jericho. It was not a conventional battle, but it was a battle the way the Lord wanted it to be. I understand, after a while, the walls came tumbling down. He has strengthened my arm so I can bend the bow of bronze. Bronze is a material that is not easy to be bent. And not everybody can, not every weapon is for everyone. God gave David the ability to handle instruments of war made of bronze. He has given us different instruments to use in the wars that we fight. Remember, this is the same God that allowed David to go against conventional wisdom, to go against Goliath, not with shields, not with bows, and not with arrow, but something that had been tested and proven, a slingshot that he had in his pouch. God can give you, God can use what you already have to allow you to fight your battles. Our job is to be obedient to God. Our job is to be obedient to God. And remember that he has given us the strength to fight our battles. We serve a mighty God. We serve a glorious God. David is recounting how God had just protected him in his lifetime. And as we read over 1 and 2 Samuels, you'll see what he's talking about, of how many times the enemy has come against them, but yet he has prevailed. And for some reason, when I was studying this, I thought back to the old deacons when I was young and in church. I thought about their testimonies, how they would get up and testify. And some of y'all might know this testimony, because I think I've heard it in two or three in a different church. But they'd get up and thank God for waking them up in the morning and giving them one more time and telling them that he's brought me from a mighty a long way. I could have been dead sleeping in my grave, but God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. We know the rest of the words. He's a bridge over troubled water. He's a mother to the motherless and a father to the fatherless. He's a doctor in the sick room and a lawyer in the courtroom. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He got up early one Sunday morning with all power in his hands. Have you heard that in church? I heard the whole deacon say that, and I didn't understand. I'll be honest with you, we used to snicker when they got up, because we knew what they were going to say. But what they said was a testimony to the life they had lived. It was their song to the Lord. They're saying, the Lord has brought me out of a lot of things. The Lord has taken me places I never thought he was taking me. You know what? As a child, we can't understand always what they say. But as we grow older, as we go through our trials and tribulations, as we go through our challenges, then we start to understand what they meant. We start to understand the faith that it took to get to where they got to. And that is what David is saying in this. He is saying, I have been through the trials and tribulations. It's not because I look so good. It's not because I'm strong. It's not because I'm so smart. But it's because I got the Lord in my life. Lord, you are my strength. Lord, I couldn't do any of this without you. I couldn't have done any of this without you. For many of us, if someone had told us 8 months ago what would be happening right now, that we would still be restricted in our homes, that we would have to be obedient to certain rules when we were out around public, would we have thought that we had the strength to do it? If someone had told us 4 years ago that this too shall pass, would we have had strength to believe and to be faithful? Every now and then you got to draw on the saints of old. Every now and then you got to remember what they used to say and get up and testify in church on Sunday morning and on Wednesday prayer service. Every now and then we need to remember that it is the Lord who has got us this far, and it is the Lord who is our strength. If you had to write your own song right now, what would you have in there? Would you thank him for how you've overcome the challenges of life? Would you thank him for giving you the strength to last out when there was more month and money in the bank account? Would you thank him for allowing you to still carry on in spite of physical disabilities? Would you thank him for allowing you to see one more day? Would you thank him And would you acknowledge that it is his strength and his power that has kept us throughout this journey? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thankful for strength.